Economic Beatdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning and happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The global fallout continues into the new year. Manufacturing among countries using the euro currency has tanked in December to record lows not seen in the Purchasing Managers Index, the PMI's 11-year history. And China isn't faring much better either. Factories there slashed output and workers at a record pace last month. In the Palestinian-controlled Gaza Strip, a daily pounding of Israeli airstrikes has taken down strongholds of the Hamas leadership. This morning, a mosque was hit that Israel says was a rocket storage hub. Tensions are incredibly high there, and businesses are feeling the effects too. What was once a thriving underground trade, literally, is now plugged. From Jerusalem, Daniel Estrin reports.
More than 80 tunnels were targeted by Israeli warplanes this week. Now, almost all of the 800-plus tunnels are closed. They had brought weapons for Hamas and also commercial goods for consumers. There has been a recent sighting of bananas, according to an Israeli daily, which could mean that a brave few are still working the tunnels. But bananas don't make up for the lack of essential supplies that are running short, like cooking fuel. Gasoline is also in short supply. The UN is providing food aid to the poorest in Gaza, but other Palestinians are finding grocery stores almost bare. Also, glass window panes aren't anywhere to be bought in Gaza, which is why reporter Hassan Jaber is keeping his windows open.
Yeah, it's cold inside, but what to do?
Yeah, it's cold inside, but what can I do? I am afraid that at any moment the Israelis could drop bombs here and blow up my windows. So I always keep the windows open to avoid shattered glass.
What Israel is letting into Gaza are increased amounts of humanitarian aid and medicine, and as of today, what they're letting out are Palestinians with foreign passports. From Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
It's been pretty tense between Russia's Gazprom and Ukraine. The Russian company has shut off natural gas supplies to the former Soviet republic. Bloomberg reports this morning that the Ukrainian president, Viktor Yushchenko, says the two sides are close to an agreement. Gazprom says it is open to talks, but wants its money. There's an early 2009 buying spree going on around the world. In Asia, the Hang Seng was up by more than 4.5%. Some markets there were closed again today. European shares are up between 1 and 2%. The Dow reopens in about half an hour after the New Year break. For 2008, the Dow fell 34%, the worst yearly showing since 1931. The S&P 500 lost 38.5% for the year, and the NASDAQ composite was down more than 40%. The financial markets seem to be frozen, but does that mean deal makers have cold feet? It's amazing what a little desperation could do for an urge to merge this new year. Here's Jill Barshay.
Even with credit markets all but paralyzed, there should still be some money available for mergers and acquisitions this year. That's according to Robert Filek, who advises on mergers at PricewaterhouseCoopers. But the deals in 2009 will be a far cry from the high-priced unions of this past year. Filek says this year's M&As could look more like fire sales.
I think the activity we will see in 2009 will be mergers of necessity, which really means that I am going to do a transaction that helps me sustain this challenging economic environment.
Rather than corporate giants looking to expand, the shoe will be on the other foot. Troubled companies will be looking to initiate deals to stay afloat. The few lucky companies with cash on hand, or stock that's worth something, will be the big beneficiaries. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
New York City workers will have to find another mode of transportation because their cars are about to go away. Today's New York Times reports the city is asking employees to give back nearly 700 cars that the city owns. Many enjoyed the vehicles as perks, police, park employees, the health department. The Bloomberg administration says the move could save $20 million over the next couple of years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
This economic fallout is hitting pretty much everyone, unless you're a recluse and keep your money under the mattress. You know what's taken a particular hit? charitable giving, and nonprofits, a lot of them, are competing for donor dollars. Sean Powers reports.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Miriam's Kitchen. This morning for breakfast...
It's a few minutes after 7 a.m. at the Washington, D.C. food bank, Miriam's Kitchen. About 150 people wait for a warm breakfast. Volunteers serve pancakes, chili, and fruit.
And would you like grapefruit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Have a good day.
Miriam's Kitchen has a budget of $1 million a year, and a quarter of its support comes from local foundations and corporations. But as the economy tanks, some worry donors will use stricter guidelines to justify charitable giving. Lester Salomon at Johns Hopkins University is studying how the financial crisis affects nonprofits.
The old expectation that nonprofits were simply trusted because they were nonprofits, I think, is giving way to increased demands that they actually demonstrate their effectiveness.
Salomon predicts that will cost them the funding they so critically need. That's a concern of Sarah Gibson's. She raises money for Miriam's Kitchen. She's noticed many donors now ask for evidence of progress. She knows how many people Miriam's Kitchen feeds a year. But can she tell you how that changes people's lives in the long run?
Well, no, not at this point. That may not be possible, and it certainly is expensive.
As a result, Gibson says she's more conservative about the donors she approaches. Tom Gunderson with the Council on Foundations says donors should pursue other methods of evaluating progress. For example, with Miriam's Kitchen, grantmakers might want to observe and interview people the kitchen serves.
I don't think one model can fit all, and I think we need to be very, very careful that while we talk about increasing the impact and effectiveness of philanthropy, we don't suggest that there is one metrics that can be used to evaluate every grant.
Gunderson says charitable givers and nonprofits should work together to identify the best models to track progress. In Washington, I'm Sean Powers for Marketplace.
Looking for more news on the economic fallout? You can find it online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.